Alicia Slew, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication at Comic Syndicate One. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, then I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone can ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Comic Syndicate Podcast. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah. Yeah. The Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 287. I'm Josias at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, I'm going to address it real quick. How cool was that? Interesting, odd, fun, funny, feel good. Huge shout out to, let me hit it real quick, Andrew Lewis, dude, old listener of the show. Did something like that for me, and it was dope, out of the blue. I mean, met him years ago, and he was listening to the podcast, met him and his friend Danny Courageous on Twitter. Cool guys, down to earth guys. They were listening to the podcast. Life happens, things get in the way, so the way people listen to audio and just podcasts in general, everyone has their own stories, whether it's a trek to work, at the grind, however people listen to podcasts. The fact that Homeboy is so creative, first of all, is rad and dope. And I always encourage it. The fact that we touch base after so long, once he found out I'm on Spotify, it's like, it's going to be a lot easier for me to catch you. Dope. And we've been chatting more on the side, and he had hit me up and tweeted me like, hey, dude, you mind if I write a song for you? Like, you don't have to use it as an intro. And I'm like, no, dude, that would be dope, dude. I totally appreciate it. He sent it to me yesterday. Actually, no, this past weekend. So today is actually March 4th. And anyways, he sent it to me over the weekend. I was busy. I was working. I believe he sent it on Saturday, I think, Andrew. But if I got the dates wrong. But yeah, so he sent it to me. I didn't have enough time to listen to it until Monday morning at the office. And once I heard it, I'm like, this is kind of cool. Like, this is dope. So he sent that to me. And he's like, this is just this is a rough draft. Not even first draft, but kind of first draft too. It was in one shot for the most part. He's like, I recorded it on my phone. I hope you like it. And he didn't even say that much. And I listened to it and I loved it. And I'm like, this is fucking cool. The fact that you listeners and my friends, like you guys that listen to the podcast, that you guys have stuck with me for so long. And if you guys can be creative and do something creative like that for me, means a lot to me. Like, it really does. It's really humbling, the fact that you guys dig on the show. I've been doing this for about 7 years, should be going on 8 years by now. But the fact that I don't consider you guys listeners or an audience, like, it sounds pretentious if I say you guys are fans. Like, I always feel icky when I say that. Like, yeah, I have fans. Like, no, I have listeners. Like, I have friends. Like, you guys are legit my friends. I consider you guys. So the fact that you guys have stuck with me for so long, and you guys have sent me stuff and mailed me. Like, Lupe, you've sent me cards before. Lynn, you sent care packages. Jonathan has made Photoshop stuff for us in the past. And I have physical art from you guys that I've kept. Like, I keep it all. So, again, I'm not going to get too emotional about this, but it's humbling, and it's very much appreciative. If you guys want to follow him, I encourage you to please find Lou. He is Andrew Lewis, and you can find him at The Luscious Lou on Twitter and Instagram. Please find him, and everyone that does, please let him know what you think, or like, that was cool, that was dope, because he deserves it. Andrew, we've been talking on the side, and yeah, I can definitely use your help on a few things, dude. So the door is open, and I'm always willing to help collaborate and help people, friends, other podcasts, musicians, if that's your passion, dude. I just love to see people be creative and to create something. And as long as it's not hurting anyone, you know, of course, go out there, go out into the world and give it out. But again, thank you, homie. I totally appreciate it. All right, let's hit the show like we normally do. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 187, we entitled hashtag Eat This. I swear, looking back at these titles always trips me out sometimes. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain play catch up, vent about the grind, hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, hit Twitter love and shout outs, then go into quick Twitter survey. How long should a podcast be? All right, guys. Several points. If any of these podcasts ever sound interesting to you, we have a full catalog. I have 286 plus episodes up. The point ones, the point twos, point threes, the deep dives and rabbit holes. I have over 300 podcasts out. If any of these topics ever sound interesting to you, go back and check it out. Like, it's a whole fucking library. There are not all winners. Like, I'm going to be the first to admit it. A lot of them are swings and misses. And sometimes I felt good walking out like, okay, that one, we hit it. Like, we nailed it. On this particular show, I don't remember what it was, but I tossed out, how long do you guys feel a podcast should be? So every listener, friends out there, people, new audience, new friends, hopefully. When you guys listen to podcasts, what is your ideal time for a podcast? Like, for me, my trek to the office is about 40 to an hour, depending on traffic. I live in California. The 5 freeway sucks. There's no way around it. So for me, to kill a quick podcast within 45 minutes is in my wheelhouse. I can do an hour. I love Joe Rogan. Homeboy is a talker, but the topics he goes into is great. 3 hours talking, though, or sitting at the office for 3 hours and listening to Joe Rogan kind of takes me out of it. Depends on the guest, though, sometimes. So 3 hours. Let's say, legit, I can record 5 hours each show if I wanted to. I just personally feel it's overkill for you guys, and I don't know. It just seems overwhelming, if that makes sense. So I think I put it 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, or an hour plus. I don't recall what the consensus was. But if you guys are curious about those numbers, go back 100 episodes ago. 100 episodes constitutes to 2 years ago. And it's always interesting when I see these as I pull them up and revisit my past. And it's I'm a fucking time traveler. I don't know. It's weird. All right. We then go into close to home, what the fuck news. Man shot to death in Orange. Okay, this one I remember specifically because I was working that weekend. And second job, the theater I still work at now, the Chili's there, there was a shooting. And I happened to be at work. I think I was closing the bar that night. So I got up about midnight, 1 o'clock or so. And there was a shooting at the Chili's, which is in the same plaza, I guess. So if I would have got it out any sooner, I don't know, just weird. So to be able to talk about that, like, holy shit, I was like right fucking there, was a trip. But I'm still here, guys. We then nail some sex facts. 6 after sex habits that are just as romantic as foreplay. Okay, that would make sense why we titled this. Hashtag eat this. If anyone was going to go the sexual route, it would be Josiah's. That was just normally me and the vulgar and more heart, rude. I don't know, not rude. The I don't give a fuck was always me. And Adam would always ask, like, who do you think our listeners think is the bigger asshole? And he's like, I think I'm the bigger asshole. I'm like, I can out-asshole you any day, dude. Miss Homeboy, I love him. So the fact that Andrew was able to toss in some sex facts, and I haven't hit sex facts in a while, but to have this conversation now, do you guys see how everything in the whole bigger picture kind of runs together? And it makes sense in my weird world that you guys are now a part of because you guys are listening to it and have been listening to it. So yeah, appreciate it. Again, much love, Andrew. With Comic Talk, Comic News, The Mummy, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde debut in new movie. It was going to be a Universal Monster Movies reboot. And The Mummy was starring Tom Cruise. That movie did financially terrible in the box office. So they kind of scrapped everything. The Invisible Man did just drop last week, I believe 2 weeks ago. And it did decent, but it's not part of the quote-unquote Universal Monster Movies. So we have no idea what's going to happen with that yet. We hit live-action Judge Dredd show, American Gods, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Gotham season renewed. We hit New Mutants news. Wow. Okay, so 2 years ago, we were still talking about this. The movie's barely going to come out in a month. Now, I'm going to hit that briefly, but when I go into my bullet points. And the show is barely getting started, guys, so bear with me. Off of the intro and the work, I'm just going to roll through it. Deadpool Animated gets greenlit, and that's been canceled for a while now. New Fox X-Men show date, Scott Snyder Batman news, Nightwing news, Wonder Woman Day announced for June 3rd, then finally rock some comic reviews, X-Men Blue number 2, All-Star Batman number 10, which was Book of the Week. I loved it. That was number 1 we reviewed, and in the bumper, or actually intro, now I have so many intros to play with, like, Andrew, dang it, dude, you're fucking rad. I have more toys now to play with in my toy box that I can pull out at any time and just mix and match in certain spots if I need to kill some time, and it's dope. So just to have toys in the toy box is dope. Anyways, All-Star Batman Scott Snyder does give us a drop. The Damned, number 1. Star Wars Screaming Citadel, number 1, which was also Book of the Week. All right. That was still not intro, guys. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Before I go into bullet points, do me a huge favor. Please find me on Instagram, Twitter, subscribe to the podcast, The Comic Syndicate, in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, CastBox, Spotify, Podchaser, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Like-minded individuals, if you guys like this show, dude, share the podcast and just reach out to one of your friends that's like, give this dude a listen. And if they're not pop culture people, give them a deep dives and rabbit holes. That's still on my feed too. I'm working on some interviews for the Audio Chronicles, but that's the third podcast I have as well. The Comic Syndicate is my baby though. So I'm going to take care of it. That's number one focus. But I do have a lot of stuff written out for the deep dives and rabbit holes. I have two consecutive back-to-back shows. They're companion pieces. You don't have to listen to them together. They're separate shows. But if you listen to both of them, they complement each other. And that's the weird writing style I have. Anyways, it'll make sense. I already have next week's The Comic Syndicate written out as well. That one's going to be very emotional. So if you guys want to bear with it, definitely do, but I'm going to give you a heads up. It's just going to be very emotional, and I'm prepared for it. I've been preparing myself for it, and it's going to be a rough one, but I know I can do it, and it's just going to be something therapeutic for me. But that's next week. Bullet points for today. Moses, my brother Moses, I've been writing a lot more, and I need background music sometimes. So literally my office is my dining room table. So whenever I need to go to work, it's like, all right, let me bust out my composition notebook. Let me bust out, you know, my writing, whatever I might have. And let me get to work. sometimes I'll have my headphones on and still work and write. Like I can, I have a weird writing working process. This is granted after out of the office, getting home yesterday. Anyways, the story happens about 2 weeks ago. I hit up my brother Moses. I live with him. Hey, dude, you mind if I have some get some background noise going? You watch whatever the fuck you want, but I'm gonna get some reading done. So he's like, yeah, jump on in. I chill with my fucking brother. I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV in my room. Guys, I don't have a TV in my room. My TV's in my garage. Like, anyways, so he starts asking me questions as I'm reading the New Mutants, the new run of New Mutants. And I start talking to him and answering his questions. And it was very interesting and very cool to have him ask me so many questions. And the fact that he's been sharing the podcast with more people on Facebook, he's not a Twitter guy. On Instagram would be dope if he did, that some more. But the fact that he is sharing the podcast and he's backing me up is beautiful. And I'm going to go into more beautiful stuff hopefully next week. But still on New Mutants, I kind of asked him, like, dude, I want to review the Demon Bear saga. So the New Mutants movie was supposed to come out 2 years ago. It's one of those movies that kept getting pushed back and getting pushed back. This is going to be Fox's first rated R movie. And it's very nightmarish, very Nightmare on Elm Street-ish, very horror movie vibe to it. But the Demon Bear saga is very much that. Chris Claremont wrote it, and Bill Sienkiewicz did the art. I pitched to my brother. I'm like, dude, I haven't read the Demon Bear saga. I'm like, he's like, I need to brush up on it. He picked up the trade paperback as I was reading mine. And I'm like, dude, why don't we do a companion piece? Let's break down the trade paperback, the Demon Bear saga, the New Mutants Demon Bear saga that it was based on in 84, 85, I believe. And he's like, you want me on the pod? I'm like, yeah, dude, like I can finally get you on. We can nerd out. Like, you don't collect comics anymore, and you come to me when something's going on in Marvel, DC, and now I'm the comic cat. I'm the one, like, getting Moses through, like, what's going on. All he has to do is listen to the podcast, really? But it's like, he has the luxury of having me and picking my brain whenever he can. So it's kind of fun and funny because I have my own, sometimes I feel bad because it's like, dude, just listen to the podcast. Like, all these questions I answered already. And I feel like I have to reiterate them one more time. And it's just interesting that world I live in. But again, I'm not going to give him a commercial. So I pitched that out to him. Like, dude, let's jump on the show, dude. Like, let's just fucking talk about it. I'm going to fucking host it. Just read it, bring notes. We're going to break it down, and I have the structure of that show settled already. The only downer to that is the movie drops April 4th next month. Today is gives us 1 month to work on it. That means I work two jobs. So I work the foreclosure company, the office, Monday through Friday. I work the theater on the weekends. The podcast writing, I think I have enough done. I have two episodes of the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes out of the way in the chamber. I have an episode of the Comic Syndicate done. The only downfall is the time to read a whole graphic novel. And the way I write and the way I break down and review comics, I always want it to be inviting to everyone. I want everyone to feel a part of it. Like, you don't have to know the history, but let me tell you a fucking story about what I read about. And I'm literally just retelling and trying to explain pages and panels of pain, hurt, emotion, sadness, darkness, happiness that I read, that I feel. And hopefully I can convey it in a way to you guys in an audio format that you guys will appreciate. I think I'm a good storyteller. So that's something I want to do with my brother is the Demon Bear saga. Like, just full review. And even if we don't make the deadline, we don't have a deadline. That's a beautiful thing. I can take him to watch the movie. We can go opening weekend. And we can even do two podcasts, like, compare and contrast. Okay, this is the Demon Bear saga we read. This is what the movie was about. And compare and contrast. and it would be regardless two shows, and it would still give you guys something to listen to. I don't know. Just the way I think is always the next. My mind is a fucking chessboard. I love playing chess, and that's the best way I can put it, guys. If you guys know how to play chess, you got to think 2 moves, 3 moves, 4 moves, 5 moves ahead. I just like to think like 20 moves ahead. I love it. And sometimes you have to sacrifice pieces. But yeah, I'll even sacrifice my bitch anytime. But I can double up 2 queens at the end with pawns, and I can run the fucking board on people. So yeah, that's going to happen soon. Wow, this is still the intro. My schedule this week, recording tonight, Wednesday. Tomorrow night, I have off from the theater. I'm going to LA. So my buddy Bruce invited, he works at the theater, used to work at the theater. Older gentleman, cool cat, down to earth. Bruce is a struggling actor. I don't want to say struggling actor. He's been in like Supernatural. He's been in movies. He's been in True Grit. Kind of background guy, small roles here and there. Cool cat, though. Jude, one of my boys at the theater, we're all tight. We became friends. Bruce decided to go back to his actor thing and, you know, try to get gigs. So he moved back to Hollywood. He texted Jude and I last week. No, I'm sorry, about 3 weeks ago. He's like, "Hey guys, do any of you degenerates want to go with me to a burlesque show? I've never been to one before, and all my friends out here are pretty fucking square." June and I get back, "Fuck yeah, let's do it." So we're pumped, we're jazzed, and then I realize, holy shit, it's a Thursday. I'm recording tonight. By the time I put this out tonight on a Wednesday, hopefully go to sleep early enough, go to the office, wake up early, go to the office, have off, drive to LA from Orange County. The show starts at 9 o'clock, drop off Jude after that, make our way back home, come back home, maybe shower, maybe just knock the fuck out, go to sleep, wake up early for the office on Friday, pick up a cake for Victoria. Victoria, you didn't hear anything. It's my coworkers, it's my friends, it's executive co-producer Victoria, my friend's birthday on Saturday. So Friday, we're going to celebrate, and that's what's going to happen. So wake up early, pick up a cake, and then after work on Friday, we're going to go to a happy hour for her birthday. And again, I don't work the second job on Friday. I'm back to the second job. I'm back to the theater on the weekend, Saturday. And it's just these back-to-back days on top of the work I've been doing already, where it's more mentally draining, and at least the end of the week wrapping up is going to be more fun. Like, I get to go to a burlesque show in LA tomorrow, and I've never been to one, so I'm very intrigued and excited for that. All right, that was my schedule. What I have going on. Happy birthday, Victoria. I don't know when you're going to hear this, or even if you listen to these anymore. But much love, dude. Files, just so many fucking different types of files. Again, Andrew, thank you for that. The work I was putting in yesterday to get the audio quality and sound and MP3 working together was just more work for me. The game plan yesterday when I got home from the office was get home and don't write, motherfucker, just read. You know, just enjoy reading and get lost and just read. That didn't happen. I start writing, and then working on that was something. And then hitting up Andrew, like, I wasn't in a bad mood. I think I woke up yesterday in a bad mood. But I hit up Andrew at the end of the day yesterday. Like, I'm outside smoking. It's like 9:30. I hit him up. I forget where you're from, dude. And I forgot. It's 3 hours time difference, possibly. I'm out smoking a cigarette, just stressed, overwhelmed, I guess. I don't like getting stressed, or say I get stressed. Anyways, I'm out for a smoke, and I hit him up, "Hey, dude, I had my headphones on, and I re-listened to the intro you sent me, dude, like, and it put a smile on my face, so much love, much appreciated. I'm still up, so we should start shooting the shit." And the number one thing behind it was, he said it's a rough draft. He's like, "That was just one shot rough draft, dude." He's like, "I still want to clean it up. It was half-assed. And I want to send you the correct file." And I'm like, "Damn, dude, I kind of want to play it tomorrow." He's like, "It's not clean, but," he's like, you're more than welcome to. Like, it's yours. Like, I wrote it for you." And I'm like, "It's not clean, but I love it. And it sounds cool. And it's beautiful, like, to me." I'm like, "So we're working together. Like, working on audio, and he's trying to send me audio files and then have them integrate those files into the recording of the show. As you guys heard, the intro was a little bit rough. I'm going to try to clean it up as much as I can, but we'll see how that process works tonight. I'm 25 minutes in, and I'm still haven't got to anything yet. All right. Please drop a review in for the Comic Syndicate on any podcast app. You listen to a Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify. Like me on Facebook. Find me the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Give me a few, and I will be right back with some comic talk. All right, guys. Sorry about that little bumper issue right there. But all right, I need a little bit of a breather. So TV movies, George A. Romero's Day of the Dead gets series order at Sci-Fi. I was a fan of George A. Romero. His movies are fucking dope. So it's a playoff of those movies. Ten episodes have been ordered. You know what? I want to go through all these, but my review is going to be extra long, and I'm very proud about this review because it's a dope fucking story. A lot of conventions are getting canceled because of the coronavirus threat, quote unquote. DC pulled out of Emerald City Comic Con. That is based in Seattle. I can get into all these conventions, so C2E2 Chicago I can get into, New York Comic Con I can get into, Emerald City I can get into, which is based in Seattle. I can get into Florida Comic Con, Texas Houston Comic Con. I can go out to these places and cover these events. I just have to pay for, you know, the flight out and the hotel room and stay board, whatever. But I can get out there to do these cool things. Because it's convention season, a lot of things like these are going to start happening. Like box office reviews are going to go down numbers because of the fear of like spreading the disease. My thoughts and opinions on that, dude, take care of your fucking self. Just take fucking care of yourself. Don't be an idiot. Wash your fucking hands. Use sanitizer. Cover your head. Simple fucking things you learn as a fucking kid. Don't be a fucking idiot adult. It pisses me off working both jobs. And if I use the restroom and people do not wash their fucking hands, it's as simple as that. Not fucking wiping your nose when you do anything. It does small fucking things like that. So yeah, just take care of your fucking selves. So things are getting canceled. So those are my thoughts, opinions on that. Let's see what we have. The Batman director debuts redesigned Batmobile. That's all we have for DC. And actually, no, this is an old Vertigo / DC imprint. The Sandman, Neil Gaiman to narrate Audible original audio drama. The Sandman, Neil Gaiman to narrate Audible original audio drama. The Sandman follows Morpheus, the King of Dreams, and the people and places he's affected as he tries to mend the cosmic and human mistakes he's made during his endless existence. The title was one of the few graphic novels to make it on the New York Times bestsellers list. I love the fuck out of it. If you guys have never read or picked up a Sandman title, oh my god! If comics aren't your thing, you have to read these. It's literature in comic book form, but it's a graphic novel, and it's beautiful. They're dark stories, grounded stories, and it's worth checking out. I always ask people, that's when people ask me, like, where should I start? I always ask them, like, well, what do you like? Do you like horror? Do you like fantasy? Do you like myths? Do you like knights? Do you like mages? What the fuck do you like? And it's easier for me to push people or send people in the right direction. But Sandman is one of those great, beautiful comic books that is just worth checking out. So the fact that it's on Audible, if you guys never have picked up a comic or have never read an issue of The Sandman, it's going to be up on Audible very soon. Check it out. And he's also going to be doing the narrative. So love the fuck out of that. Let's see what we have. Rumor Moon Knight production start date and filming location revealed. According to a new rumor, production for the Disney Plus Moon Knight series has been pushed back. But we'll film in a familiar location, and they're going to back to Georgia for that. All right. Hawkeye gets a comics accurate costume in Disney Plus series. And I was going to jump into comic reviews, but these are two things that I'm going to show you guys my nerdy side. I'm a huge fan of these next two things for this particular reason. I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up in with becoming a wrestling fan of NWA, WCW, Classic Wrestling, World Class Championship Wrestling, WWF at the time, those old school wrestlers, Demolition, The Rockers, Hulk Hogan, Coco Beware, Ric fucking Flair, the Road Warriors, the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, Kerry Von Erich, the Von Erich family. I'm a sucker for those. I'm a wrestling fan. But I'm not a wrestling fan anymore. Like, does that make sense to you guys? I don't know what's going on. I know wrestlers. Like, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, the new era, Randy Orton. And that's not even new era. But like, these younger kids, I don't know what the fuck's going on. But give me classic shit like this, and I love it. Kayfabe. So Lita, Gail Kim, and Christy Hemme develop female-led wrestling drama. The racy cinematic television series Kayfabe by Lita, Gail Kim, and Christy Hemme will focus on a female-led professional wrestling startup. Unique narrative will take fans behind the curtain, quote-unquote, into the locker room and outside of the arena, according to showrunners Christy Hemme, Gail Kim, and Lita, who all made names for themselves in the WWE. The trio has launched a Kickstarter campaign to help raise money to pilot the production cost. Why are these stories worth a shit? And I love this. The group asked in the description of the series. Because we present them with no filter. You get drama, passion, humor, love, anger, frustration, and real-life challenges. Plus, we address the 800-pound elephant in the room. And in the current landscape of the world, abuse of power, manipulation, injury, addiction, inequality, and the euphoric high of pursuing your life's passion, that clouds every damn decision. It has raised $48,000. The goal is $400,000, and there's still 34 days left to go on that. The more behind the scenes, behind the curtain stuff like that, I love the fuck out of. And it's just every job has its dark side, and wrestling has its complete dark side. And give me those old school wrestlers that I just mentioned that I fell in love with and grew up with, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, those wrestlers as a kid, the Andersons. As a kid, and to read their books, you know, and their know their history, and to see how that business is a dirty organization. It's a dirty fucking business. But then again, I can say the same thing about the NFL. And I love the fuck out of football. This next one is going to be Dark Side of the Ring 2. I didn't know there was a part 1, but this one, again, very dark stuff. This trailer tackles Chris Benoit, New Jack, and more. So Vice has released the trailer for its upcoming second season of Dark Side of the Ring, which looks even more entertaining than the first season. The critically acclaimed docuseries plans to dive even deeper this year into the wrestling industry's secretive past, with stories about death, destruction, and disaster booking featuring Chris Benoit, New Jack, and more. Many wrestlers and family members we interviewed have never spoken out before, explained producers Evan Husney and Jason Eisner to Entertainment Weekly. Dark Side's second season will open with a two-hour episode with about the life of Chris Benoit. I loved him as a wrestler, but he had issues. Who committed suicide in 2007 after killing his wife and 7-year-old son. The incident has been an extremely touchy subject for wrestlers and the business as a whole, with many superstars, both past and present, still not wanting to talk about it. Again, I'm a nerd for shit like that, and it's not a bad thing to say. And I know, Eric, you had your wrestling podcast for a while, the Bearded Brothers, I forget what you guys were called, but I was listening to you guys. And every time I can catch wrestling, like, I don't order the pay-per-views, but the dark side of every business, there is one. And to say I'm not a fan, give me the classic wrestlers and I'll eat it up. And those two news just intrigued me. So if you guys are wrestling fans, hit me up. Like, we want more wrestling news. Like, keep us posted on these. I'll try to accommodate everyone. But till then, I'm going to hit my comic reviews finally. This is going to be X-Men Fantastic Four, number one. Chip Zdarsky is the writer, Terry Dodson is the artist, and Rachel Dodson is the inker. Starts off with just an insert background familiarization. X. Feared and hated, mutants around the world are flocking to the island nation of Krakoa to be part of the the first mutant society. Standing between that sacred land and the human world are the heroes of mutantdom, the X-Men. Four fearless friends, a brilliant scientist, his best friend, the woman he loves, and her fiery-tempered kid brother. Together, they braved the unknown terrors of outer space and were changed by cosmic rains into something more than merely human, the Fantastic Four. It starts off with an inner monologue, Franklin Richards. I'm the impossible boy, the son of superheroes, and not just any superheroes, the great Reed Richards and the powerful Sue Storm. All right, I'm going to try to give you guys some more inflection, so don't mind the voices. Just bear with me. Hopefully it makes more sense as I tell this story. Okay, it starts on, everyone watched me. Even as a kid, everyone wondered, what would he become? It's stupid, that pressure on a kid. My parents gained powers. I revealed them. So what did I reveal? Well, I became the boy who could dream the future. But it wasn't just dreams. Eventually, I could make the impossible possible. I could create universes. A kid who could create universes. And I did. Now my powers drain every time I use them. I'm headed toward being someone you'll see in the street and wonder, was that Franklin Richards? The guy who was once in the Fantastic Four? I used to have dreams of the future. I don't anymore. Because there isn't one for me now. And it's interesting, the title jumps now to the Pacific Ocean, the island of Krakoa, where Kitty Pryde finally arrives on her marauder ship, her vessel, her ship, where Storm meets her up at the shore. And something happened to Kitty Pryde where she's unable to enter. She can reach the shore of Krakoa, which is a mutant island that's only mutants can get on. She's unable to enter. In previous runs, or the other titles that are going on right now, in a nutshell. But it looks like in this title, she's able to get in, ? So now she continues on to go see Charles Xavier and Eric Leshner, so Magneto and Professor X. Where as soon as she walks in, she knows what they're looking at. What? Is that Franklin Richards? Magneto, yes, the Fantastic Four recently thwarted a minor alien invasion. Or should I say, the boy did. Professor X answers, as you know, the son of Reed Richards and Sue Storm is a mutant. And not just a mutant, but an Omega-level mutant. For the longest time, we've been content to let the boy be, to stay with his family. The Fantastic Four are obviously not suburban parents, terrified at what their previously quote-unquote human son is becoming. And Kitty interrupts. But now, Magneto interrupts in turn. His family took him on a multiversal adventure. So he's back as a young man. A man who can question his place in the world. A man who, he gets interrupted once more. As Kitty Pryde, a man who needs his people. You're going to recruit Franklin Richards to Krakoa. Professor X answers, his powers are depleting. Something is wrong, and we need to help him before they're gone, and also determine if this is something that could happen to other mutants. Kitty, you're going to convince one of the world's smartest men and one of the world's most powerful women that their teenage son is better off away from them? As they tell her, she is the best one suited for the job, as they have some sort of relationship or history together. And it's not a physical. An old issue, I believe it came out in 84-85 as well. Kitty Pryde got attacked, she got injured, and she was in her phased state all the time. So as a kid, Franklin Richards would go visit her just to check up on her and talk to her. Because she was different, and she was the first mutant, really, he got to hang out with. So that's their history in a nutshell. So now, let's see. They feel they can trust her the best out of everyone. So now, off of this reflection, she finally agrees to this mission. But as she leaves, she catches an old friend, Logan. As he says, so you doing it? Kitty, what? Recruiting Franklin Richards. I don't know. He's just a kid. Anakin, how old were you when you barged into the mansion, making my life miserable? Some 13-year-old wakes up and they walk through walls or shoot lasers through their eyes. You know as well as I do, you grow up fast once you realize you're a mutant. As the panel is just beautiful with her expression. I love the X-Men. The X-Men were created to be to combat racism and prejudice and bigotry. And that's what the X-Men mean to me. Like, I need to go to the Hot Topic because there's a shirt, a t-shirt that says mutant and proud. Like, it's a familial thing for me. Being Hispanic, being different nationality, different religion. No one's better than anyone. We all have our fucking struggles. And that's what the X-Men mean. And it's weird because you see the flip and almost the privileged side, which is interesting. And it jumps again to the flip side now. The kid and the familial side of things. So still familial, but more strictly family. With Reed Richards doing tests on his son. Reed, son, I'm sorry, but no matter how many tests I run, the results are the same. Your power levels are still draining. And I can't see a fix for it. Something is stopping your ability to replenish. As the pages get real for anyone that has ever... And for some reason has been through this. The whole adolescence and being a kid and not getting answers you want from your parents sometimes is relatable. So yeah, I am talking to you guys. Franklin, he just gets frustrated now. And, you know, his own frustration, we were able to see his own frustrations, again, that are just totally relatable. As he just fucking bails, walks off all pissed off. Reed answers or says, Franklin, as he bails. Franklin, right, fine. Reed, son, I'll still work at it. I'm sure we can still find a... Franklin, appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule of solving literally everything else, Dad. As he bails, he's just pissed. Again, adolescence, he's a kid. Susan Storm finally walks in. What's going on? Nothing, Mom. That's the problem. And their conversation that happens next between Reed and Susan is great. So they have two kids. And it's just beautiful. Reed's like, yes, I know it's fine. Yes, it's his powers. He doesn't understand that I'm not perfect. And this guy's a brilliant scientist. Again, like Kitty Pryde mentioned, one of the most smartest mans in the world. I'm not perfect. We're a good family. He has a good life with us. I understand his disappointment, but there's nothing wrong with being human. And it's just fucking cute as she answers. Oh, honey, it's not just about being human. Even without your stretchy bits, you're still incredibly smart. Look, you know, when I was a teenager, I used to play soccer, and I was good. Really good. There were talks about me getting a scholarship, going to nationals. But then I broke my ankle. It was devastating. One day you think you're something special, that you're known for that thing. And then it's gone. And it's hard to recognize everything else you have to give in that moment. He's young, trying to find his place in the world. And that's tricky enough. Without being in the Fantastic Four. And again, it goes down Franklin's road and his temperament and the people he goes to that he can trust and talk to. One of his uncles, Ben Grimm. Not his biological uncle, but I mean, it's family. He goes to the thing and the thing starts off, I get it, kid. I do. But trust me, the superpower garbage ain't everything. I'd gladly live a normal life with Alicia. His wife. Being regular handsome instead of, you know, chiseled handsome. And it's just beautiful and cute because that's who he goes to. And it's just a good conversation. Franklin, come on, Uncle Ben. It's not the same thing. And this kid I'm really getting as a privileged, again, kind of dick, but still. Franklin says, continues on, there wasn't any downside to my powers. I could still be, you know, me, just a better version. But Dad, he doesn't want. And I'm going to jump into what the thing says. But again, the privileged aspect. So four scientists, four astronauts go to outer space. Susan Storm, Reed Richards, Ben Grimm, and Human Torch. Go and the cosmic rays give them these powers. When they come back, it's like, oh my god, you're different, but holy shit, you're heroes. And this is what I'm reading behind it. So I'm definitely reading behind it, but let me give you guys some background. That's what the Fantastic Four went through. They came back though and stopped crimes and helped people out, and they're heroes. Mutants, because they are different, because they physically look different, because they were born different. You have your heroes, the X-Men. And people hate them. People despise the X-Men because they are different. That's why I want that shirt from Hot Topic that says mutant and proud. Like, I love the fuck out of being different. I don't want to be like anyone else. And that's why I always gravitated towards the X-Men more than the Avengers. Because these guys are gifted with the abilities. And the X-Men are born with them, or even some deformity. And the way people look at them. You shouldn't treat people like that. I don't know. Again, my background on that. The thing says, Franklin, your old man, he's doing his best. As the conversation turns, Franklin, is he? Dad's the smartest man alive. He solves the universe's problems daily. So why? Why is it exactly the two problems he can't solve are you and me? And that's the fucked up moment where we get another great facial expression. From Terry Dodson. His art is great in this, and the writing by Chip Zdarsky is beautiful. It's really great. It's powerful. Where now his uncle comes in, someone else he can go to and talk to, comes in and busts that cloud. As the conversation ends quickly, when Johnny Storm shows up, he's his actual uncle, to give him a heads up on what's going down, both of them, which is the X-Men now just wanting to talk, but showing up about what's best for Franklin. So the things get heated really quick about ideals, ideologies, about life, about upbringing, about hatred, about bigotry, both lifestyles between you're the Fantastic Four, but he's a mutant, and it's only going to take some time till people come after him and start persecuting someone like him. So now we see Susan is the first one to lash out at possibly the biggest threat, and she goes after Magneto. As he warns her, she traps him in a little fucking bubble. And he, like, warns her, like, I'm really the last person you want to fuck with. Do not start with me. And they're in their house, and it's interesting because, like, they sit down and have a conversation, but they can't have a conversation. Xavier now and Reed trying to have their own conversation, and that's where Kitty is able to talk to Franklin now. Use her powers to phase him out. She's intangible. She can walk through walls. Just about anything. She protects him, and she also phases him out, able to talk to him again. Where he's now weighing out his own options. And she says, you're old enough to try it, or stay home, to not disrupt the family ties. And by this time, everyone is pissed off, going at it. So Kitty Pryde and Franklin leave, and Magneto and Sue Storm are just going at each other. And fucking each other up. Professor X says, it doesn't have to be like this, Reed. Reed answers, no, it doesn't. You're forcing a situation that would resolve in time. My son is almost a man. In a couple of years, he'd surely visit Krakoa on his own. Maybe even for good. As Franklin jumps to his point, talking to Kitty, this is crazy. So what do you want to do? As Franklin decides on his own, going through the mutant Krakoan Gate. As Reed, you know, everyone comes across finally, they're still fighting, so the X-Men are fighting the Fantastic Four over what's best for this fucking kid. And the kid's like, you know what? I'm ready to go for it. He starts running for the gate. And he finally gets like, okay, I can make my own decisions now. And we see something that surprises everyone, the X-Men, everyone, even his parents, or one of the parents. And he's unable to pass through it, this gate, to get to this mutant Krakoan Island. Reed answers, I'm sorry, son. I knew this might happen. So I created a device that masks your mutant gene, which prevents you from accessing the gates. And Franklin's like, yeah, you what? You were supposed to be fixing me. And Reed says, I'm just trying to protect you. You're too young to just go. I'm your father. Your place is... And as the X-Men bail, Professor X, they stop fighting. It's just like, you know what? He leaves off with this message. It would appear you're right, Reed. I suspect this will resolve itself in time. As the X-Men legit just walk away. And it's dope to finally see Valeria now. Empathize with her older brother. And try to somewhat be there for him. And it's messed up. But she says it's messed up with what he did to you. So decent with some interesting bad. Or is it good? She's like, brother, like, if you want to go, just fucking go. That's really fucked up. Dad did that to you. And so now it's the aftermath of the Fantastic Four. Reed says, ah, Ben, excellent. I was hoping to get a hand moving some as this is the next day. After all this shit's going down. Still same day, later on in the day. Thing. You know what, Stretch? It's hard enough convincing your kids that you're a good guy without you pulling garbage like this. Susan's like, Ben, looks like there's a line of people waiting to tell you, pal, or to yell at you, pal. Reed knows. I'm just trying to protect our kids. Susan, I know, honey. Believe me, I know. I would have killed them if they tried to tank Franklin. And that terrifies me. But even still, what you did was wrong. We can't change who Franklin is. It's such a violation of his. I know. It's just, I keep looking for scientific ways to solve this problem. Like I do all problems, when really, I just need to be a better father. Jumps now to the X-Men. So it's a great back and forth, like the familial sides of the X-Men, the familial sides of the family of the Fantastic Four, and how every family has its own issues as well. It is just beautiful. So again, Chip Zdarsky, great fucking job. We see now what the kids are up to and where they ended up. And it's really cool. So now the X-Men, Kitty Pryde's on her job now. She's back on her ship on her next mission. And she comes across these two stowaways that happen to be on the ship. And she's like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? And Franklin's like, you said you would be there for me. And I want to go with you. She's like, you fucking dick. Like, I'm on a mission now. The plan was if you came with us, take you straight over to the island. But now, like, the ship's getting rocked. We're in trouble. Just be careful, fucking kid. Like, it's going to be a long time till I get you to Krakoa or even back to your home. And it's dope the way this one ends. We see the ship getting rocked. And we hear a new narrative. From the kid, Franklin. I was a god. I'm Franklin Richards. And I was born a mutant. Born to be with mutants. But I was born into the Fantastic Four. As a different dialogue, monologue goes off and enters. Ah, the children of Xavier. And where is your father? And Franklin, which means I have twice as many enemies as it's actually Valeria. His sister is on the boat with him. And we see a man that's pissed off. And it's their godfather. And it's Dr. Doom pissed off at his god kids for being on the ship with the X-Men. Like, what the fuck's going on? That was issue number one. I love the fuck out of it. I knew it was going to be a long review. I didn't realize the show was going to be this long, but I love the fuck out of it. You guys are dope, rad. I want to leave off one more time with the recording from Andrew Lewis. You're dope. You're rad. I love you, homie. Please follow him, guys. Share the podcast more than anything. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.
Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, and I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone can ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast.